This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, I'm Ads.
Hi, I'm Bish.
And I like guys.
And I like girls.
But we hope you love this podcast.
Joy 94.9.
Hump Day Crew Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Give the world a hug, one country at a time. It's time for Global Community.
Joining me on the line this week for Global Community, Rosanna Flamer Caldera in Sri Lanka. Thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on the show, Ad.
When I have a look at the press and what gay life is like in Sri Lanka, it doesn't seem to paint a very colourful picture. Tell me a little bit, how is gay life in Sri Lanka?
Well, it's difficult, but I'm not saying everything is like, you know, doom and gloom. We all also have our, you know, little good points and our, you know, triumphs and joys. But by and large, I think life in Sri Lanka at the moment is kind of difficult for everybody, and unfortunately for the gay community, it's even, you know, worse.
Is it illegal to be homosexual in Sri Lanka?
Yes, actually, according to the Penal Code of Sri Lanka, Article 365A, it is illegal for, you know, it's called unnatural sex. And in 1995, they tried to repeal the law, and the Ministry of Justice at that time decided that penal code was gender biased. So they changed the word male and made it person, so including lesbians as well.
Oh, so you tried to get the law more lenient and they actually made it stricter.
Exactly.
Oh, dear.
You know, we took 20 steps backwards instead of going forwards. But,
dearly.
You know.
Now, I believe the punishments can be as small as a fine through to 10 years imprisonment. Does that actually get acted on very often?
Well, people do get arrested on 365A. In fact, there are warnings in public toilets, especially men's public toilets, saying that, you know, any person who's caught, you know, doing lewd things with other men is liable for punishment under 365A. So they take it fairly seriously. But, you know, rather than be prosecuting, you know, on that 365A, they enact other, you know, laws that might be able to be used to harass people, like, for example, the Vagrancy Act or the Prevention of Terrorism Act, you know, things like that, that, you know, they can utilize that without, you know, having to actually prosecute on 365A.
You said over the years that you've had a few victories. Tell me a little bit about them.
We are the only organization, say, for example, in Sri Lanka that managed to have Pride each year. Now, we don't march the streets like you do in Sydney and Melbourne and elsewhere, but we have a Pride celebration of 1 week where we have 5 or 6 events, you know, celebrating gay pride. And that is actually an effort on our part to mainstream gay issues and get people used to the fact that, you know, queer people do exist in Sri Lanka, and, you know, we're just as normal as everybody else, and, you know, we have a good time. So that has been quite successful, actually, and it has gone a long way to, you know, even, well, mostly in Colombo, of course, but it has gone a long way to, you know, deconstruct all the crazy notions that people have about gay people.
You said that you don't have a parade. What are the events that you actually hold?
Well, for example, we have two flagship events, which is the Rainbow Kite Festival on the beach and the Pride Party. We also have the LGBT Film Festival. We have the LGBT Art and Photo Exhibition. Next year, we're actually going to have a play with an LGBT theme, which we're hoping also to take outside of Colombo and sort of spread Pride into the interior. And we also are hoping next year to have the first and only queer fashion show in Sri Lanka, and I believe in all of Asia.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Now, you've mentioned a couple of times Colombo obviously being the capital of Sri Lanka.
Yes.
And we do find that normally capital cities are a bit more open to gay life and that type of thing. Would that be the case in Sri Lanka as well?
Well, you know, it is and it isn't. I mean, you've got pockets of people who are very open and very liberal, and then you've got pockets of people who are not, you know. And unfortunately, Sri Lanka's going through some turmoil at the moment since the, you know, war has been over since May of this year. But, you know, we also see a rise in, you know, extremist views and extremist groups. And, you know, this puts pressure on everybody, not just the queer community, but, you know, it seems to be a little bit more on us because we are always the, you know, at the end of every, you know, burning issues, you know, so to speak.
For the average gay male or gay female, how is day-to-day life? Are they free to be themselves, or do they sometimes feel, a lot of them keep it hidden from their families and their friends and maybe their colleagues at work?
Yeah, most of them do. Most of them keep it hidden. We have a huge invisible population. Most of them are forced into heterosexual marriages. It's really very difficult because it's not only their family and friends that they have to deal with, but also at work, you know, because there's a lot of harassment at work as well when somebody finds out that you might be a little bit different, you know.
Mm.
So it goes sort of like, you know, it cuts through each strata of your life, basically, you know, at home, in schools, when you're still in school. What happens also mostly for gay men, because there are some quote-unquote cruising spots, and, you know, there they get harassed by the police and, you know, other people who find them easy targets for extortion and blackmail, violence, those kinds of things. So it's difficult. But then again, there are some of us who are out and proud and can manage to live a fairly normal life here, but not without, you know, certain, what should I say, sacrifices being made on our part, I suppose.
I'm intrigued about, you mentioned before that some people are forced into heterosexual marriage.
Yes.
What are some of the effects on the individual long term being, I guess, living a life that isn't really them?
Well, they have a lot of mental issues, and they have other, you know, things to deal with. I mean, for women especially, you know, they have to deal with a high amount of domestic violence, mainly because, you know, obviously they are forced into a heterosexual marriage. They don't want to have sexual relationships with their husband, or they're having, you know, extramarital affairs with, you know, their girlfriends or whatever. So there's a lot of, you know, domestic violence, abuse, mental health issues, and even physical health issues stemming from that. You know, I mean, it's terrible because, according to parents, you know, I mean, they still have this very sort of conservative view of marriage, where arranged marriages is still quite normal here. You know, I mean, most parents, you know, arrange marriages for their children. So you dare not say, well, you don't want to get married, you know. Mm. I mean, you don't really have too much of a choice, basically. And there's very few people who can actually put their foot down and say, look, I'm not getting married, you know, I'm going off on my own or whatever. And it also stems, you know, the result of that is also because they are not financially, you know, able to walk out of the house and say, hey, listen, I'm not going to get married to anybody you say. I'm going to go off on my own. I mean, it's very difficult for people to do that, so.
So it's a whole cultural issue around Sri Lanka, and it's not just a gay issue, really, that they're up against in some circumstances.
Yeah, they've got a lot of issues that they're up against.
Yeah.
And primarily also religion. You know,
yes.
I mean, for example, we have a fairly large Muslim population, especially on the East Coast, and they are so dead against homosexual relationships, you know.
Mm.
In fact, we've been doing quite a bit of work in the East Coast, and the first 7 months of this year, we had to take a lot of precautions because we were getting death threats from extremist Muslim groups operating in that area. So, you know, we had big issues with that, and as a matter of fact, we had to actually move our office, change our telephone numbers, and, you know, put in security systems in our office to safeguard, you know, the staff and trustees and members of the organization. So it's religion also plays a huge part in this.
Now, you mentioned the extreme Muslim groups who are against homosexuality, and you get the problems from them. I know in countries like Australia, which is predominantly a Christian country, It's the extremist Christians, or the Christian factions seem to fight about where they actually stand with homosexuality. Do you get any support from the Muslim groups when it comes to homosexuality?
Well, you know, the work that we did on the East Coast actually was in with consultation with, you know, friendly Muslim clerics, you know.
Yeah.
And we do have a few of them. But, you know, when you get an extremist Muslim group attacking, I mean, even those friendly Muslim clerics, you know, they take a back step. Because yep. they're not going to put their neck out for us. Yep. So, you know, they just get overshadowed by, you know, the hatred and the, you know, fundamentalist views that are expressed by these groups.
One of your neighbouring countries, India, has had some great progressions with gay and lesbian rights recently. Are you hoping to take something from what they've achieved into Sri Lanka?
Absolutely. I mean, that decision by the Indian High Court, I mean the Delhi High Court, was a landmark decision, you know, and I think it will have a ripple effect, you know, to places like Sri Lanka. But the problem is that, and what they're facing also in India right now is that even though the law might change, the attitude of the people don't change. And that attitude of the people is often fueled by religious fanatics. This is what's happening in India right now as well. There's been tremendous backlashes as well to this wonderful decision. So it's not going to be that easy. And right now, I think we are at such a crossroads as far as Sri Lanka is concerned, mainly because, you know, of the situation with, you know, the war being over and Sri Lanka trying to rebuild and, you know, all of that. We're at a really tenuous sort of like, no, that's the wrong word to use, but we're in a very sort of shaky position at the moment. So we're not pushing any issues, so not to rock the boat too much, yeah? Yeah.
One final tricky question to finish off. Do you see possible in Sri Lanka one day, a day where gays and lesbians could possibly even marry, where you could hold hands in public? See that happening in Sri Lanka one day?
Absolutely. I have to see that. Otherwise, you know, this job would be a lot harder. Besides, I do want to retire at some point,
yes.
So it better happen soon.
Very true. And very quickly, before I let you go, Rosanna, could you tell me a little bit about your role and what you do?
Well, actually, you know, I've been involved with the LGBT rights movement in Sri Lanka since 1999 when I formed an organization called the Women's Support Group. And then in 2004, I formed this organization called Equal Ground, the difference being that the Women's Support Group was entirely dedicated to lesbian, bisexual women and transgenders, whereas this organization, Equal Ground, we are dedicated to all sexual orientations and gender identities, focusing on LGBT rights, of course, but we also have supporting heterosexual members and heterosexual staff and trustees, and because I don't feel that we can go forward as a movement if we don't include everybody. And so it's by inclusion rather than exclusion that we can move forward. So, yeah.
Well said, well said. Rosanna, thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat to us today.
Thank you very much, Ads, and good luck.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Joy 94.9.
Hump Day Crew Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Hi, I'm Ads.
Hi, I'm Bish.
And that was one of our podcasts, but I still like guys.
I still like girls.
Boys are better though.
I don't know about that. Listen to another podcast and find out.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.